Do we sin because we're born sinners, or do we sin because we choose to? That's one of the questions we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently taking your questions and doing our best to answer them. So you can reach out to us with your questions at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's questions with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. We are going through some Q&A. All softball questions, right? Right,
Bob? No,
all easy stuff.
So far, everyone has been a killer question.
Really, really easy stuff. Here's an easy question. How could John the Baptist have written the Gospel of John if he gets killed partway through it?
That's a real tough one, and I understand in your church, you did have some people who thought John the Baptist wrote the Gospel of John.
I did have that question posed to me, yeah.
And I would say the solution is there's another guy named John who happened to be an apostle, and he was different than John the Baptist.
Not everybody knows this.
Honestly,
not everybody. You don't get taught that in Sunday school, really.
No, you don't.
Because there was no animal involved and no cute like jacket or anything like big whale.
Right.
You get a beheading, and just you don't get taught that in Sunday school.
No, so, you're right.
Yeah. See, that was an easy question, John.
Yeah,
the Baptist,
but that's
John the
not
Apostle,
one that
easy.
Somebody sent in.
All right, now
so.
That we have an easy question out of the way, let's do a hard one. This is from James, and James asks, do we sin because we're born sinners, or do we sin because we choose to sin, or is it both? If men and women do not have a sinful nature and are not born sinners, what was the Apostle Paul referring to when he referred to the flesh in his epistles? For example, in Romans 7:18, the Apostle wrote, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing."
Yeah, this is a great question. I was, about 2 weeks ago, I was in Las Vegas speaking at Upland Bible Church. And the pastor there is Richard Olsen, O-L-S-E-N, Norwegian background. And so he teaches the word very clearly, and when his boys were real small, they were like 8 and 6 or something like that, they were being taught in Sunday school about the old sin nature. They didn't hear old sin nature. They heard the Olsen nature. And so the two boys were crying on the way home after church. They were like, "Mom and Dad, why does it have to be called the Olsen nature?" And they're like, "No, son, it's not the Olsen nature. It's the old sin nature."
Uh-huh.
And so the answer to that person's question is, yes, we sin because we have a sinful nature. And yes, we sin because we choose to. However, I would say much of the sin that we commit in our life is not intentional. Now, I've heard many people argue that all sin at one level is willful. But I tend to think most of the sins that a believer commits who's walking in the light and who understands the principles of Romans 6, 7, and 8 and is walking according to the Spirit, most of the sins which they commit are not willful sins. They're more sins that result from our sin nature, and also they result from the way in which we were raised and our experiences. Those things tend to come out. But when he's talking about the flesh, especially in Romans, Paul is talking about the body, which he calls our mortal bodies,
right.
Our fleshly bodies.
Right.
And basically, Paul's point is that our physical bodies are not in and of themselves able to live righteously.
Hmm.
And the only way we can live righteously is by the Spirit of God empowering us, taking the resurrection power of Christ to live righteously. And that's what Romans 8 is about. Romans 7 ends, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death," this mortal body.
Right.
Romans 8 tells us it's the Spirit.
Right. When I think of the sin nature, now some people think that we're born with original guilt. We're born actively sinning. I don't really think that's what the sin nature means. I think what you just said, that it's the mortal body. And when you have a mortal body, our bodies have all kinds of desires that are contrary to God's will for us.
Right.
But a desire is not a sin in and of itself. It's when you agree with the desire and act upon the desire, that's when the sin occurs.
Luther used to say, you can't keep birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. The principle there is, if you have some sinful desire, the desire itself is not sin. It is the dwelling on that desire, the obsessing on the desire, the following through on the desire that becomes sin.
Like the desire is a temptation.
Right.
I think about James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15, and he says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. I kind of see that as some of those desires at least come from your body, your flesh. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The way I understand that is you're presented with a desire. When it's conceived, it's like you're entertaining the desire. You're thinking about the desire. You're thinking about how good it would be to do it. And then you choose to act on that desire. And that's when it conceives, it gives birth to sin. And then the result of sin, James says, is death.
Notice in verse 15 of James 1 that you have a birth narrative here. You've got desire, also translated as lust, some sort of a sinful desire that's conceived. So now we have conception, but we don't yet have birth.
Right.
So you've got this desire within you that's coming up, and it gives birth to sin. So the result is you have this birth, and the birth is the sin, and then the sin itself results in something. When it is full grown, it gives forth or brings forth death. One of my seminary professors used to say, it's like blackjack. You're getting cards from the dealer, and everybody gets two cards. If you want another card, you say, hit me, and he'll throw you a card face up. And imagine the cards that he's giving you aren't 2, 3, 4, 5, but instead the card has a picture of a skull and crossbones, and it says death on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws you a card, and it says death.
Yeah.
Would you like another card? Death.
Right.
Death. Every card you take is death. And the more we sin, the more we invite our own death.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sin, he suggested, I thought it was clever, is death dealing.
Right.
As we sin, we are to some small degree dying, or to some big degree, depending on the sin.
Sure.
Sometimes a sin can lead to immediate death, the sin unto death. But most of the time, sin leads to a gradual sort of death.
Right.
Many people, if you've ever known people who for years were very serious alcoholics or very serious drug addicts, they shorten their lives.
Yeah.
And so when you see these people and they're 50 years old, they often look like they're 70 or 80 years old because they have so abused their bodies with the drugs and the lifestyle that goes with it. Their death is moved up by several decades. And, of course, sometimes people who live that lifestyle die in their 20s and 30s.
So the way I kind of think of it is like this. I'll give just an example of how the flesh, how our mortal nature is kind of, it's not really actively sinning, but it's an act of temptation for you to sin. Let's say someone cuts you off in traffic, and that fight or flight response starts rising up within you.
Right.
And it's tempting you to, like, maybe smash into the car in front of you or whatever, do something stupid, kind of go punch the guy in the face. That you don't control that. That just happens, right? That fight or flight response just kind of raises up within you. But now you have a choice.
Yes.
To either say no to that sin, or now you're starting to entertain that temptation and now you're choosing to act on it.
Then it becomes sin.
Then it becomes sin. So that's how our bodies betray us. I mean, all day, every day, it's just giving us all kinds of temptations to sin. When we get hungry, don't we get tempted to get angry, right?
Yeah.
That's where the word hangry comes from. Or if you see someone who's really beautiful or see someone who's really handsome, and your body just kind of responds, and you have to be like, nope, I'm married, or no, I'm single. I'm going to keep my eyes, my mind, and my heart pure. The body gives you all kinds of temptations to sin, but you have a choice to act or to not act.
Right.
And we're supposed to resist temptation, right? That's what James says.
Exactly.
So to answer the question, do we sin because we're born sinners or do we sin because we choose to sin? And the answer is,
I wouldn't say we're born sinners. That comes back to your question on, is Adam's sin imputed to every person? And we have talked about Romans 5, 12 through 21 before when we did our series on Romans. But what I would suggest is what's passed from Adam to his offspring from generation to generation is this old sin nature. The reason why the baby sins at some point is because the baby has a sin nature.
Right.
But a person is not conceived as a sinner. I know some people take the reference where David says, I was conceived in sin. And some people say, well, that means at the moment of conception, I gained imputed sin from Adam. I don't think that's what it's saying. It could even mean that his mother was not married to his father, and so the conception was not a righteous conception.
Right. Could be David's sinful. Talking about what his mother and father did.
But the other point would be he's looking at the life and saying, from conception forward, I had this sin nature.
Right.
And, so in sin would refer to the sin nature, not to some specific imputed sin.
Right. Another way to look at it, and just final thought, I guess, we have a mutual friend who adopted a child whose mother was a drug addict. And this baby, I remember very clearly when the baby was born, she had to be in the NICU for a month because she was born addicted to the drugs that her mother was on.
Right.
And it took about a month for these drugs to get out of her system. Now, was that baby guilty of being a drug addict? No, that was her mother's choice, but
right.
The baby inherited the consequences of her mother's sin.
Right.
I think likewise, we have inherited the consequences, but not the guilt of Adam's sin. Because
right.
of Adam, there's all kinds of bad consequences. We have these mortal bodies, this sinful nature, but we're not born guilty of those sins. We become guilty when we choose to sin.
Right.
And by the way, having small children, I know kids choose to sin very, very early. All right. If you have any more questions, send them to ges@faithalone.org. We love to hear from you, and we love to answer these very intriguing questions.
Thank you, gentlemen, for those great answers. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to take more of your questions, so send those in. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.